Just great, because what we like to do, we'd like to go into these properties. We like to fill the vacants at market rent, which it sounds like there's some room to move there. We like to implement the RUBS, and then we like to raise the remaining tenants up to market. So we look for properties that fit that mold.
Welcome to CREPN Radio for influential commercial real estate professionals who work with investors, buyers, and sellers of commercial real estate coast to coast. Whether you're an investor, broker, lender, property manager, attorney, or accountant, we're here to learn from the experts.
Welcome to Commercial Real Estate Pro Network's CREPN Radio. Weekly, we share interviews with real estate experts passing on their expertise and knowledge to our listeners. Thanks for joining us this week. My name's J. Darren Gross. We're so glad you're here. In just a minute, we're going to speak with the dynamic duo known as Jake and Gino of Wheelbarrow Profits. Their story is pretty cool. A pizza guy and a drug rep go from zero to almost 700 multifamily units in less than 3 years. But before we do, I'd like to remind you to go ahead and subscribe to our show. You can do it on iTunes or Stitcher, whichever you prefer. We're on both. Just go in the search bar there and type in Commercial Real Estate Pro Network. And when you see the headphone with the headphones with the CREPN between the ears, go ahead and click subscribe. This will make certain you receive all of our episodes, and you can listen anytime you choose, whether it's in the car, at the gym, or even at your kid's sports practice. When you do subscribe, we'd love to hear from you, and if you would leave a comment, we'd really appreciate that. For those of you that don't know about me, I'm a real estate investor and a commercial property insurance broker. I've been an insurance broker for over 25 years. My primary clients are multifamily, retail, warehouse, office, and development clients, and also been investing in real estate for almost 20 years now, and based on this, I'm always looking for more information about real estate so I can pass on to my clients or use my own investing. And that's how this came about, CREPN Radio and Commercial Real Estate Pro Network. Insurance, just got to put this out there, insurance is always a part of any deal you're doing in real estate. If you need any help, give me a call. I'll be happy to do all I can to help you. That's what I do. The easiest way to reach me, you can do it at either jdarrengross.com or at commercialrealestatepronetwork.com. And one more quick little note here. If you're on LinkedIn, be sure to look up our group. We've got a group, Commercial Real Estate Pro Network. It's full of commercial real estate professionals, and it's a great place to network. All right. So a little bit about today's show. If you are a buyer, you know you got to know your numbers. Brokers have numbers, and sometimes they don't necessarily add up to what's real. It's always best to use historical numbers and then compare that to what you think you can do. And currently, I'm considering two different properties, and I had the chance to speak with Jake and Gino and get their perspective and learn about their investing model. All right, on the line today, I'm fortunate to have two people I consider friends, Jake and Gino, Gino Barbero and Jake Stenziano with Wheelbarrow Profits. Guys, welcome.
How's it going?
Hey.
and just to give our listeners an idea of where are you guys right now?
I'm Jake, and I'm in. Sorry about that, Gino. I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee, right now.
Usually it's age before beauty. So, I mean, I'm the age guy. I'm the older guy. Unfortunately, in New York. I was in Jacksonville, Florida for 12 weeks. I'm trying to make that move down there. I'm back up in New York, but I will hopefully be down in Florida by the end of this year.
All right. Well, and I'm clear across the coast out here in Oregon. And Jake and Gino, why don't you give the listeners here a little bit of your background, and then we'll get going here.
So yeah, we'll give the short version of it because it goes back a little ways here. But we started looking at properties, Gino and I, in 2012. I made a move from New York to Tennessee, and that's when we started our partnership. We looked for about 2 years, got a ton of rejection trying to find deals, and then fortunately we were able to kind of stumble into our first 25 unit mom and pop apartment complex. That's what we like to buy. We like to buy from motivated sellers that don't necessarily have the systems in place, so we can go in and turn the turn the properties around and make some serious cash flow. So we started with that 25 unit. We grew it to almost 700 units in about a 3-year period. Our values in our total portfolio are about $32 million, and our annual revenue for our business to date a little over $5 million. We're looking to grow and going to continue doing what we're doing. And you know, for me, my biggest thing was I was in a corporate job. They were doing layoffs every year, so I needed to make a move and look for a brighter future. And fortunately, that our partnership has enabled me to do that.
And that's the power of partnership. I give kudos to Jake. He's a great partner. We both have similar mindsets. We both have similar skill sets, but we do things differently. We do as we say, and we say as we do. We both, our shoulds became musts. He had to get out of corporate America. I had to get out of my restaurants. I just couldn't take it anymore. So that's one of the things that propelled us into actually getting into it and getting done with it. I knew about investing. I was being coached by somebody. Jake had the skill set of just being a hard worker, determined. He had great habits. That's one thing that Jake brings to the table. He's got great habits. He works through stuff. He has his coach's sheet. He sets up his week. So that's what makes him successful. And we just blended together, and we just, you know, took it from there, and we wanted to do it. That's his coach's sheet right there. You know, it's a powerful thing. And, you know, once you start doing that and you get together with somebody, we both wanted to, you know, create wealth. We wanted to generate passive income. That's what we both wanted to do. I'm not a fix and flipper. He isn't. We just melded together and we just took it from there.
Well, in any case, the your story just from starting from zero to just shy of 700 units in 3 years, I think is enviable. And I think anybody that's in real estate or wanting to get into real estate looks at that and go like, wow, if those two guys did it, you know, maybe I can too, kind of thing. And so that I love hearing that, and I think that's pretty powerful. So
listen, if a pizza guy and a drug rep can do it, I think anybody can do
anybody can do it. Huh? Well, like I said, I think the thing that's always appealed to me in real estate is just, you know, multiple things, but I think the thing that appealed to me first and got me into it was recognizing that the tenant was going to be paying my mortgage. And even if I wasn't making cash flow on the deal, they were paying down my principal, and I was going to have that spread, as opposed to the 401k that I had at work, which was totally incumbent on me putting in my money, the match from my employer, and then crossing my fingers that the market was going to do something positive, you know, to get that additional valuation. But at the end of the day, it was still incumbent on me putting in my money as opposed to the tenant putting in their money, kind of thing. So that was kind of one of the things that really appealed to me.
But don't settle, though, because there's so much more out there. It's great. I totally agree with you. I love the fact that the tenant's paying down the mortgage. But with these multifamily properties, if you're buying them right, guys, you can cash flow on them. You can hit those 10% cash on cash returns. So that's what we want to focus on a little bit today, I think, as well.
I want to follow up with bringing the pain here. There's a lot of there's a lot of reasons why multifamily, why real estate. First thing any investor needs to think of, the three tenets of a really powerful investor is leverage, liquidity, and control. Real estate brings the leverage, and it brings the control aspect. Liquidity, not so much, but if you follow our system, you're going to be able to refinance these properties, and there goes the liquidity. You can always 1031. It's not as easy as pushing a button on the stock. Maybe sometimes that's better, because when you sell prematurely, that's what happens. Oh, I sold the stock at 50, ran up to 70. Maybe you shouldn't have sold it. But those are the three tenets of any successful investor. And on top of that, that control is huge. I don't want Johnny CEO telling me, you know, that he's taking control of the company. He's got his fishing expeditions. I was watching Wall Street last night with Michael Douglas, the old one, right? And he's in front of the boardroom, and it's just really powerful because he's talking about greed, and I don't agree with his greed assessment, but he's got all these guys on. They have 22 vice presidents. You have no control as a stockholder. In this business of real estate, you have total control. Now, that means if you know what you're doing, you can create wealth for yourself, and you can control the asset. I love that about real estate. There's so many different talks. Darren's talk about the amortization pay down. We're not even going to get into the tax ramifications, but the tax benefits are huge with real estate. All these high net worth individuals, why do they want it? Because they're going to shelter their income legally. There's a great way to do that. You have the cash flow potential. I mean, there's so many potentials. I can go on and on about real estate, but let's go with the premise that real estate is one of the best vehicles to get you from point A to point B. I think most of us can agree about that.
I definitely agreed on that. And just kind of following that along, because I think where I started was more of, not even about the appreciation, but just one way that I could make money was just right. that somebody else was paying down my debt.
You're getting just excited there, Darren. Sorry about that.
No. But I mean, you know, and again, I started off doing single family stuff. Yeah. So I mean, that was really the only thing that I mean, and it all started from, you know, I had just recently bought a house with my wife. We were recently married. We bought our first house. I can remember going to the mortgage broker on the, you know, the deal, and he was telling me, oh, you can afford that. And I was kind of like, well, what about food? And what about lice? I mean, it seemed like, how the heck was I going to be able to afford this? Uh-huh. And it wasn't until we did our taxes, and I was like, wow, this really works. You know, uh-huh. I mean, the tax, and that was just the tax benefit that I hadn't even, you know, when I was buying it, I had not understood. And I think
on a single family.
Yeah, exactly. Just on a residence.
Wait till you get in the big boys.
Yeah, on just a residence.
Yeah.
So,
Gotcha.
So with that knowledge, then I you know, got into a single family rental, and it was actually a duplex, my first deal. But it was long story short, I had a client that was buying stuff, and I swear he just stayed up too late watching those "I'll show you how to buy properties with no money down" kind of, you know, ads. And I was working my Polaroid camera at the time, trying to get the angles just right so that the underwriter wouldn't see the tree growing through the fireplace and, you know, all of these not so attractive things. But anyway, I got in. And I think one of the things that you guys talked about, and I've heard you talk about, is sometimes, I mean, you have to get into it, period. I mean, you can sit on the sidelines forever and analyze every deal to the, you know, to the nth degree, but until you get in it, you really don't have the opportunity to fully learn the lessons or learn the game or to actually take advantage of the situation. And you're nodding your head there. Yeah, go ahead.
I agree with that. No, there's a couple things to that statement. The first thing is, I think if no one has ever explored life coaching, when you talk about yourself, you have to talk about any endeavor. Most of it is mental. So 80% is psychological. So you have to be ready, willing, and able to be able to actually get that. And you have to be able to get into the system. 20% is mechanical. Jake and I can teach you that mechanical, listening to Darren's podcast. You can learn that. But you have to be ready yourself and willing and able to get into a deal. The duplex is awesome. The way you got into a duplex, Jake should have done that in his first venture. He didn't do that. You know, get that duplex. I like to start small. You can always start small. I don't recommend anybody starting small or big, but my recommendation, what I did, and it really worked for me, is I started small. I figured out, you know, if I make mistakes, it's a small mistake. It won't derail my career. I can handle small. It's all about paradigm. But then what happens is you start doing a two-unit deal. If you put a zero in front of that, a 20-unit deal is just the same amount of work as a two-unit deal. I think it's less. So for you to buy 10 units, it's the same thing as buying 100 units. I think it's easier because you got to buy 10 units to get one 100 units. So I would start where your comfort level is, learn the business from the ground up, get into the trenches, and then start doing it. But you have to be ready, willing, and able, and you have to be ready mentally to get into the game.
And to piggyback off of what Darren was saying right now, there's a sweet spot. You're going to get a certain amount of education, and then sometimes what happens is people just keep educating but don't ever do anything. And that's why I've been pounding education times action equals results. Get your education, but then you have to use it. If you just keep educating yourself and don't do anything with it, there's no reason to do any of this stuff, right? So when you get to the certain point, you have to be able to make the leap. You have to say, okay, I've educated myself. Now I'm going to get in the game. I've learned what I need to know, you know, learn. And then when you have to take the action, because if you don't pair the two, you're not going to see any results from that.
Right. Well, and that kind of brings us to, you know, the quandary that I'm in that I wanted to share with you guys and kind of
get into it, man. Yeah, let's talk.
I think this would be telling for listeners and a good example and just an actual kind of live bullets as opposed to, you know, the theory kind of thing. And so as I was sharing with you guys, so my wife and I, we've been investors for about 20 years now. Started off as a duplex that actually I was an incidental flipper. I didn't even know I was flipping. I bought the one from a customer, had another customer that came along, said, I need to get into that. And I said, oh yeah, I'll sell you this one. And literally in like 7 months, I was in and out and had made the equivalent of, you know, almost two thirds of an annual year salary in one flip. I was going, dang, you know, this is all right. So anyway, then it rolled into the next one. We still have that one. And now we've got half a dozen of these, you know, various single family, some that are just traditional single family. Some of them are actually like group homes, which we talk a lot about that if you ever care to. But anyway, so we're ready to level up. And we are, like I said, I'm out here in Oregon. I've got some family down in Florida. My wife has a desire to be in the Sunshine State, kind of like Gino wanting to get down there in the Sunshine State, right? And normally Oregon's a pretty sweet place in the summertime, but I swear to God, I don't know if it's global warming or whatever, but we have woken up to clouds, and more clouds. I'm just like, where is the sun?
I gotta make a quick observation for the folks on YouTube right now, because both these guys are in dreary climates and they both have yellow rooms behind them. So there's something psychological there. It's time to get out.
That's right. I've got the sunshine on in this room. But so anyway, we've committed to leveling up, and we've got, you know, financing all in place, and we've got we've got some means, and that's based on, you know, a lot of that's been based on positive cash flow of our investments for a number of years. We've been able to accumulate some cash. We've got one property that's, you know, paid off. We've got another one that we can shift some gears on and get some more cash. But anyway, the long story short, we're ready to jump into the multifamily game. So we're looking at, we literally have two deals before us. And Gino, you were kind enough to take my call here. It's been probably a month ago, but I was driving down the freeway with the family going over to Cape Canaveral, asking you a little bit of your input on that. But so we are looking at, it's a 13 unit down in on the west coast of Florida, and it's, and I'm not looking at all the numbers right now, but I want to just tell you just kind of the framework. It's a slightly, I don't want to say it's fully uniform kind of thing. It's a little bit, it's like three lots that have like a couple, there's two buildings, there's three buildings, I want to say there's like four one bedroom, one bath, there's seven studios, and then there's another, I think that's, 11? So maybe it's six in that, and there's another duplex. But anyway, it adds up to 13 units. Built in the 50s, but it's, you know, two of the buildings are block with concrete pad, just a wood roof, one story. I mean, it
sounds like courtyard, Gino.
Yeah.
Well, and I got to tell you, one of the things that appeals to me, and just having, you know, dealt with rentals long enough, is maintenance. I mean, you know, holes in walls, yeah, go ahead, knock yourself out. You know, you want to try and punch a hole in that concrete block, you know, have at it there. But also the smaller size, if you need to get, you know, evict, or somebody needs to move, not a lot of room for them to accumulate a lot of stuff. And even if they do, you know, one dumpster, hose it out. You know, you've got your hard surface floors. You're not talking about recarpeting. It's a very, very low. I talked to the my broker down. He says, yeah, it's a C minus, you know, but we figure between doing some landscaping, kind of a power wash, and some fresh paint, you know, the property has some potential to increase the curb appeal. But again, just based on the unit mix being one ones or studios, it's a smaller property, but that location, and what I'm learning is in Florida, there's a lot of that type of property, and there's a lot of people that like that, you know, whether
Cardinal apartments.
Yeah, single retirees that just need a place to live. I mean, you know, there's not, I mean, it is what it is. And so we have this, we've submitted a bid. We've been waiting on the acceptance from the seller. The seller had some sort of I don't know, there was a delay or whatever, and so I'm waiting here back from my broker today. Anyway, over the weekend, and I get another call from an insurance client of mine who has a property out here in Oregon under contract. It's a newer property, uniform, 20 units. He's in a situation where the bank is saying, hey, you need to bring some more cash into the deal.
Why are they saying that?
I think it's a cover ratio. You know, they're looking at it from a standpoint of the rents right now are undervalued. The seller hasn't kept up with the market. So there's anywhere from an easy $125 to $200, you know, a month additional rents per unit that's available. You know, I hate to buy on future values, but I think that you have to be aware of that and see what, you know, what the potential is. At the end of the day, you know, the one is 3 hours away from me. The other one is, you know, a day flight, additional expense. The one in Florida is, you know, 50s construction. The one out in Oregon is a 2008 construction. And my, you know, my level of comfort is kind of, I'm, you know, going through this, trying to figure out, you know, which is the better deal. The one trades at, the Florida property can probably be up like around a 9 cap when, you know, when the rents are brought up to speed. The one out here can be probably about a 7.5 cap, when the rents are, brought up to market value. And so I'm looking for some input and your guys' experience and how you'd evaluate and kind of what you would think.
Quick question before we get into it. The Oregon property, if they took less for the property, would then the amount required for down payment go down to more of a reasonable, like 20%?
You know, here's the and that's a great question, because that was one of the first things I started off with, was like, you know, your caps are too tight. You know, is that price, is it negotiable? And the party that's you know, offered this to me, he said, hey, look, he's talked to some appraisers that deal on the coast, and they're saying that, you know, properties right now are selling for about 5.5 cap, which, you know, and you know, from a cash flow standpoint, that's not a wheelbarrow of cash. I mean, that's basically you know,
that's slim pickings.
That's essentially, yeah, it's you know, it's not a cash flow play at the present thing. But again, I think the appeal on it is knowing that the rents, there's room in the rents. And I've done the kind of Craigslist. I haven't, you know, gone and called properties.
That's your profit, though. If you can go in and get those rents up, that belongs to you, not the future potential. We just like to buy in actuals. That's one thing.
Absolutely. And, yeah. And one other thing that I did, that we did see in just going through the information there, is that the notice that the utility bills were like, wow, why, what the heck's going on there? He's not metering the water.
Yes, so that's another play.
There's
yes.
about probably about $7,500 a year easy pushed out to the tenants, you know, on the water bill. So those are kind of the things I'm looking at, as far as the, you know, the one is I would have a partner, the other would be my wife and I doing solo. You know, the one has, I mean, that's it. I'm kind of curious to hear your input, or what's your process of analysis? How would you?
Yeah. Well, we break everything down into three categories for our framework: buy right, manage right, and finance right. So right off the bat, the thing that's glaring to me is that you're not able at this point to buy the Oregon property right. And what we mean by that is we really do. We shoot for 8% cap rates and 10% cash on cash returns. And therefore, right from the jump, that property, unless he drops his price, is not going to meet our parameters. So, you know, we might put an offer in on that as to where it fits in our guidelines. But from there, that property to me would be, we actually wouldn't look at that property. Gino, we can continue talking about buy right. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, let me talk real quick. It sounds for me, from my life coaching experience, that Darren sort of has his mind made up. You always have to go with how you feel as an investor, where your comfort level is. And I think the amount of discomfort you can add into your life will lead to growth. So if you're a comfortable person, you're doing 9 to 5, you're never going to grow as a person. So the amount of discomfort that you can add to your life will actually lead to more growth to your life. Now, if you're not used to flying, you know, across the state and do whatever, that I understand that. I'm moving down to Jacksonville for one reason, because I want to buy assets in Jacksonville. And my comfort level is I want to be on the ground and, you know, expand the portfolio there. So I'm willing to take massive action to move to another state, you know, quality of life, you know, that all takes into place. But that was my reasoning to move down into the state, to get close so I can start buying assets there. You know, if you have family in Florida, maybe you can find family members near where you're buying a property and say, hey, listen, I give you a property manager, maybe I'll make you a 10% partner. That's another way of doing a deal where you can buy something a little bit bigger, where you have family members or someone you can trust looking at the deal. I mean, I like the Oregon deal because there's a lot of value plays in there. I think it's a great market. You're not going to buy it an 8 cap. You know, so if you're going to buy an actual 5 or 6 cap, that's okay. But then try to figure out what you're gonna, what your potential is. I mean, if you can get that potential where you have an extra $10 to $30 per month from these apartments, you know, when you're sub metering it, and if you can get an extra $100 a unit, that's a big number. So those all have to be taken into consideration. And I think the comfort level, believe it or not, 3 hours is pretty far from your house. I mean, it's not like you're going to get in a car and drive 3 hours once a week, because you're not going to do that. Because I have a property that's 30 minutes from me, and I'm not doing that either. And I'm not going, you know, once a week. So it's a tough thing. If you're going to invest in your backyard, I would say an hour is probably the maximum where you think you're going to be able to touch it and feel it. I think 3 hours, you're still going to need a management company to be out there, or a resident manager or somebody to pay for that. So whether you get on a plane, fly 5 hours to Florida, or you're going to get in a car and drive 3 hours, because it's 3 hours there, 3 hours back. That's a whole entire day shot, you know. So you have to take
that. That's going to wear you out too if that becomes a frequent.
Oh, no, I'm right there with you. I've got properties that are less than 5 miles away that I'm seeing once every – you know, 3 months. I'm not, I mean, I get the reality of it. It's just, there's some sort of like a, you know, comfort in like, it's only this far away.
Yes.
You know, kind of a thing, as opposed to, just knowing I've got to, you know, find a flight and, you know, the cost of a flight. Although, I mean, the reality is I need to take that out of the deal, because and the rationale is I might travel one time down to see the property and to meet the property managers and to get, you know, get comfortable. I say one time in the beginning of the deal, other than what I normally would do to go visit family. We go to Florida at least once a year. My wife, you know, goes down a couple additional times to go down and visit her mom. So there's already some built-in travel that we're doing.
That's right. And it's business expenses. That's a business. Now, whenever you're going to see family, it's a business write-off, because you're going to be fitting in the trips to go there.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, you have Facebook Live now. You have a property manager who's on the property. Let him do Facebook Live to you. Let him walk through your 13 units. Make sure if you have that discomfort level, use tech property management companies that have technology. That's one way of getting over it, by saying, listen, I want you to walk through the property once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month. I want to see the property, how it looks. I want to make sure that, you know, apartment 5C is rented. And you can use technology that way to overcome your fears. And I don't think any property management company who is worth their grain of salt would say no to that, because that's just part of their job. Their part of their job is to provide you with those reports and to provide you with that analysis.
Yeah, and I want to walk through the framework real quick, because I think it's a great way for us not, you know, having really looked at these properties closely to do a quick analysis or overview. So when we're looking at the – and this is just for Jake and Gino's parameters and what we're typically buying. So, you know, guys, if you find something that has a lot of upside and you want to look at it, it's a little more speculative. You know, we don't necessarily do that, but it's worth noting. So on you know, for what we're looking at right now, if we're looking at buy right, the Florida property seems to meet the parameters. It's an 8% cap rate. It seems like it can cash flow from day one. The Oregon property is a little below that. And then if you look at manage right, I want to talk about this a little bit, because I think both of them are out of your backyard a little bit. So let's just talk about what you're thinking for management companies and how you want to run these properties.
Oh, definitely outsource the management. Mm-hmm. The one in Florida, broker our broker had said he's found somebody that will do it for 8%, which is reasonable. I always kind of build in 10% when I'm doing my models, just for you know, because especially in Florida, it's kind of a weird place in that I think a lot of the properties are more of a vacation rental, where they go 12% north for their fees. So if they start thinking that way, that's doesn't work. So I'm comfortable with, you know, 10% is the model I've always used. The one down in Oregon, the partner already has a property in the town, and he's got a relationship with a property management firm, and they're willing to do it for 5%. So,
cool.
I mean, but anyway, in both cases, be outsourced.
So. And in addition to that, the one thing I want to find out is you have upside on the Oregon property, which is great, because what we like to do, we'd like to go into these properties. We like to fill the vacants at market rent, which it sounds like there's a room to move there. We like to implement the RUBS, and then we like to raise the remaining tenants up to market. So we look for properties that fit that mold. Is there an opportunity to do that in with the Florida property? Is there upward mobility in the rents on that one? Are there RUBS in place, those type of things?
And before we run past the word rub, go ahead and tell.
Sure. Ratio. Yes. This is a big part of our repositioning framework. It's actually the second phase, and it's ratio utility billing systems. Basically, we try to identify properties that the landlords are currently paying the water bill. And then after we own the property for a short period of time, we actually implement a program that bills each tenant back for their water usage. And it's a great way to increase the property's NOI.
And you'd be amazed at how many landlords don't do it. I mean, our market, we're fortunate that it is just the status quo in our market. Everybody does in our market. So we're fortunate. And you'd be amazed that people who own properties for 15, 20 years, they don't keep their rents up. They don't want to be bothered by their tenants. And they don't bill back for water. And we found that once you start doing that, the usage does go down because tenants realize that, hey, they're paying for part of the water. They got skin in the game. And, right. And it's that aspect. Plus the aspect of you're recouping money. So on our 136 unit deal, landlords weren't doing that. So you do 136 units times what, an average of $30. You're talking a lot of, you're talking between $4,000 and $5,000 a month that you're recouping. So that's $50,000 a year. At the end of the year, I only had a 10 cap. You're talking about $500,000 in value that you just added. So that's why the bigger you get into these deals, the more value you can create, the more tenants you can service, the more money you're going to make. That's why a single family home, you have one tenant, you're only servicing one tenant. But with a 10 unit, you're servicing 10 tenants. And with 1,000 units, you're servicing 1,000 tenants. And that's the mantra in business. The more people you can serve, the more people you can create value to, the more money you're going to make. That's why the multifamily space is just an attractive space to be in.
Right. So let's go back to Jake's question, though. So you were kind of going down the comparing the two properties there.
Right.
And so that, you know, and this is, again, in both cases, there is room for rent increase.
Okay.
Based on what we're seeing in the marketplace. Now, having said that, I haven't seen the interior of the other units. You know, I mean, if you just say you look across the marketplace and go, wow, one bedroom or a studio is renting for X, we're below that. If you go and you look at the two, you may understand why there's a difference, you know, based mm-hmm. on furnishings or whatever. But just in the – go ahead.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing, and that's what we want to identify, because that's something we can fix, and that's how we force appreciation, right? So even if your interior is maybe not up to snuff, but you know you can get it there with maybe a little vinyl flooring, a two-tone paint scheme, maybe some cabinet repainting, if we can get it there, that would qualify, and I would say this is an opportunity where we can get the rents up by just doing the nice little interior renovations and maybe a little landscaping like we touched on earlier. So I guess my one question for the Florida properties, do we think there's maybe anywhere from $75 to $100 in upside on for the rents in that property, including even if you want to include the rubs into that as well?
I would say, without opening up my spreadsheet, I'd say I'm comfortable saying there's $50
yeah.
a unit. I don't know about 75, but definitely $50.
Is there a rubs play there or no?
There is not. In fact, I think there may be, because I know some of the the utilities are included. Some of them it's not. So it's not a straight.
So we have to dive a little deeper into that one at some point.
Right.
So, and this is what I found so far before we get to the financing portion of it. We think we can probably buy the Florida property right based on our metrics. We're not so sure about the Oregon property. We think that we can get the repositioning, we can manage right with the Oregon property. We're kind of borderline on the Florida property so far. So I'm just going across my checklist right now. Now, the financing is going to be an interesting one, because financing right is extremely important. Now, it looks like this Oregon property, they're asking you to come out of pocket quite a bit on this one. And I'm just curious about the terms that you think you can get with this, in addition to, you know, we talked about the down payment a little bit. You need 40% down on this one. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's kind of in – again, it's what is today, Tuesday morning, and I got the call Sunday night on this.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm just giving you kind of the framework here. So the property, the seller is offered to carry back 10%.
Okay. Down payment.
So, yeah, the down payment essentially would be 10%. And this is kind of the framework. So it would be 10% to the buyers bring in, 10% to the seller, but. The bank has then said, well, wait a minute, we want we'll go 60% loan to value based on.
So
I think
they want you to put in 30%.
Yeah, or yeah. I think it's more 20 and 20. I think actually, when you look at the numbers, the seller is willing to carry 20%.
Okay.
And so both myself and the partner would come in with 10 apiece. And gotcha. That is what it is. If you look at the numbers,
okay. So I'm not too bad.
Coming in 10, he's coming at 10. Seller will carry the 20%, and then the bank will do 60% loan to value. And I think the bank rate, I think, was like 4.3%, which I thought was pretty attractive. I think the second was like 5.25% is what the guy was offering. I mean, you know, there may be some room in that.
How many years is the amortization?
25 on the bank and 30 on the second.
Good.
Cool.
So that's good.
I think they're
ballooning. What's the term?
Five.
So that's what we want to focus on right there, because, you know, it's these if it's a community bank or whoever it may be, you know, regional, these guys will, you know, go beyond that. They're going to tell you no, but I think you need to potentially engage two other banks and make that your focal point, because the other terms, okay, maybe you'd like the 4%, 4.3, it's, you know, you're kind of getting, you know, it's doable, right? It's not going to kill you a tenth of a percentage point here or there. But I think really you want to give yourself a little more protection and then get that extended out to 10 years if you can. And I think the way you could potentially do that is to bring some more more competition into this deal. How are we looking on the Florida deal in terms of finance? Have we got to that point yet?
Well, at this point, it's all been kind of, you know, just round talk. I haven't sent my package down to the broker because I didn't have a contract yet. But you know, he's talked in round terms, and I think, you know, he's been conservative. But I'm saying high fives, low six kind of thing is what he's been talking. Which
high five, low six, what?
Well, it was interest rate. I'm like, it sounds, and I'm going, okay. Well, I've run those numbers just because, you know, that's what he's talking to me about. But plug in some power here so I don't lose you guys. But we haven't established hard solid numbers because again, we haven't had the seller accept the offer yet. Mm-hmm. If we get it today, then we'd send off our loan package. But clearly the market, the rate is down in low fours. It's not, you know, I mean, it's crazy the other way. So, but again, I'm working with the information I've been given, trying to figure out if I can make it work it there. And then from there, I thought, okay, let's see if we can't squeeze it, make it better, as opposed to start off with a perception of some really squeezed deal, and then you find out that I can't get there, and I've got a, you know, bigger numbers.
I think for that, when you want to get about a 4% 10-year term, 25-year AM, if you can on that one, and then see if you can't get the current seller to you know, 10% of the down payment. Right. If they're open to that or not, or
we did approach and it was poo pooed. No, thanks.
Not absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's we're comfortable on the front end there, but clearly the rate, you know, the rate they're talking about is not attractive. We can do better.
But that's the broker. So that's, you take that with a grain of salt.
Right. And I think, you know, we haven't engaged a community bank. Which I think is what my next call would be. If we get the acceptance on that one, I would pick up the phone and start working the phones.
Yeah, they're gonna have to. Yeah, I would even. So just looking at my checklist right now, going across the board, I think in the buy right column, I'm really liking the Florida deal, not liking the Oregon property so much. In the manage right side of it, we're kind of unsure about the Florida deal right now. The Oregon property is looking pretty good. The financing, I think the Oregon property is looking pretty good. And I think the Florida property, you could probably find someone to finance that deal. It's going to take some relationship building. I think you're going to have to send out a couple packets. You could probably get there. So it's an interesting view right now. I just, the one thing that's glaring to me is I'd like to get that. If you're going to go for the Oregon property, I'd like to try to get a better price on it, because it just seems like that's what's really making it a struggle for me right now. It's just the price that they want in that compressed cap rate.
And that is the, you know, the Rubik's Cube. You know, it's kind of like, and that's what I wanted to kind of get your guys' input. You know, we talk about until you get in the market, you're not in the market, and you can talk all the theory you want, but until you get in it. You know, I feel like the two things that are glaring to me in the Oregon property are the opportunity for the rubs, specifically that, you know, $7,000-$8,000 a year on the water, And then also just the rents being, you know, well under the market. And again, well under the market. But, you know, I think the question in my mind is the town, is it's Oregon coastal town, or they're not exactly glitzy. And let's face it, you know, and when it rains 9 months out of the year, it's not exactly the place everybody wants to go. But there's some golf and fishing, and there is a you know, it's a community. I mean, there's but it's tourism kind of stuff.
And that's what makes me nervous, is that if there's this upside, right, and there may be there, but, you know, he should have gotten it right now if it isn't. So that's why you speculate, and when you're going into it, you want to buy it on what it's doing today, for the simple fact that if you can't get those rents up, you're stuck with a poor performer.
Right. No, I hear you, and I'm right there with you, because I don't like to buy on all the hope that the broker brings to the, you know, to the
and
deal.
They'll bring it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Fixing,
let me give you a negotiating tip that me and Jake just discovered upon. I mean, every salesman, when you're buying a property, you're being a salesman. You're trying to sell your deal. Analyze the deal, get the numbers down on paper, get them down on a piece of paper, and email them over to the broker, to the seller. And, you know, numbers don't lie. So if you're actually basing it on an actual number, and let's say what Jake and I did when we bought the 281 unit deal, the guy was asking for an extraordinary amount of money. We put in our parameters. It didn't work. We said, this is what the property, you know, is worth. We didn't even negotiate against ourselves. He came back with a number before we even put a number down. So that really works really well. If you can put all your numbers down on a piece of paper, on a spreadsheet, and send it over to the broker and say, this is what the property is worth, let them negotiate against themselves. And if the deal doesn't work, the deal doesn't work. You got to keep on and keep looking
at it. You have to be willing to walk away sometimes, because I like this deal except for the price, you know, and that's a huge part of it.
Oh, yeah. That's rule number one. They're buy right, right?
Yeah. And that's a problem. You won't be able to finance this deal. That's the other thing. If you're buying on a pro forma number, the bank's going to look at it. Banks usually want to see actual numbers. They're not going to finance something on a pro forma number. So you're going to be going down this road, wasting all this time on a pro forma number.
And that's why they want more loan to value.
That's right. That's why the bank's not going to finance. So why even waste your time? You're telling the seller, we're buying on actuals, you know?
Yeah. No, and I think, you know, part of my you know, and just kind of running through the numbers that were presented to me. And I did kind of go back to the guy offering me, you know, partner in the deal, and just ask him, how firm is the price? You know, and he basically said, hey, look, I've checked with some appraisers, and, you know, the appraisers are dealing with actual sales, and they're saying that, you know, 5.5 cap on the coast is kind of what things are going for. And I'm going like, whoa, that doesn't cash flow. You know, I need cash flow. I can't buy bare land that doesn't produce. I need something that's going to pay from day one. So, you know, what may be the deal, and this is a kind of the mindset I have, why don't we go back to the seller and say, hey, look, the bank, you know, it's not working this way. We need to adjust this to where it works better, because the bank's saying, hey, it doesn't work. You know, and if the bank's saying it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
How motivated is he? Why is he selling?
Health. He had a health scare here a little while ago. He's 70.
And the thing that tips me off here is that he is willing to hold paper. So that tells me right now he's motivated. You just told me he has health problems. How long has it been for sale for?
I don't know that it's let me give you a little bit more backstory. So my potential partner, he bought another property in this town. And I think I think the seller provided the financing on that one, and he's had it for about 2 years, and he reached out to the seller saying, hey, look, I'm ready to do another one. Do you know anybody else? And so it's kind of a word of mouth thing that she reached out to this other guy. And then out of the blue, the guy called, my potential partner. So when you say how long has it been in the market, it's not quote officially on the market. It's there's no brokers involved.
So, you know, I always say, be patient, persistent, but willing to walk away. Only you know how much profit you want to make on this property, right? We look and say, we're not buying if we're not getting an 8% cap rate. You need to find your number right now. If that number is 7%, if you know you can sleep at night, if you're getting a 7% cap rate on this, show them your underwriting, show them what on the actuals at a 7% cap rate, and just be okay with it. Say, this is where I'm comfortable with it. I like the deal, but I'm not taking anything less than a 7% cap rate. Submit that to them, and then wait.
because time is on your side right now. And I, at the end of the day, you gotta do what's right for you.
Right.
Darren, from listening to you and hearing it, one of the things that I like to look in a market is the job growth, the availability of an emerging market. Now, I'm going to take Florida as a whole. Florida is an emerging market. It has been for the last couple of years. Jobs are going down there. Now, some states and some cities are much better. Like Orlando has got a great job growth. It's the third largest in terms of population. People coming from New York. So it is an emerging market. You're going to get a lot of the regular normal appreciation along with your forced appreciation. If you're a little bit worried about where you're investing in Eugene, in Oregon, you're playing, and you're thinking that it's not an emerging market, there's not much going on, the weather's not great, if you're afraid of that, you should take that into consideration also, because when properties slow down, the economy slows down, those people are leaving there and they're going to be going somewhere else to look for jobs. So job growth is really important when you're trying to analyze a market. So if you have two markets that are equal, but one's got superior job growth and places where people want to live, that has to get taken into consideration also.
No, amen to that. No, I know you guys and other guys I've spoken to have all kind of looked at that southeast part of the U.S. as being kind of really magnetic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good job growth and all the statistics support all that. So
you want population growth, you want household growth, because the households are the ones that are going to become your tenants, become your clients. You want favorable tax laws, economic developments. You want to be able to talk to the cities, see what's going on, how they're attracting jobs, how they're job friendly. And basically, Florida's no state income tax. You want, right to work state. You want all these things built in. And if you can get that in a city or in a state where you're investing, that's just adding to the allure of it. We were in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're right near Chattanooga. When they announced that plan for Volkswagen, what happened? Jobs were announced. Jobs are created. You're creating white collar jobs and blue collar jobs, and that's what attracts the population. That's what gets that population growth going, and that's what gives you the ability to raise your rents, because all of a sudden the demand is there. There's not enough supply. People have to come in and build the supply. Once they build the supply, you're already there. You're going to be getting that raise up in rent.
No, I like that. I like it. All right. Well, you guys have any more words of wisdom on my?
Be disciplined.
I like that. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to kind of go through this, because it is weighing on me heavily. And today we've got to get through the numbers a little bit more and spring into action.
Put it in, and if it's not working for them, that's okay. But you got to just if it doesn't, put in what's good for you. If it doesn't, there's going to be another deal next week. So just on to the next one if it doesn't work.
Right. No, and that is definitely words to live by. So before we wrap up here, I wanted to ask you guys a little bit. I know that you guys have been doing this for a number of years, and you guys have your wheelbarrow profits, and you've also got a program that you're making available. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about what you're
doing? Sure. Thanks. Yeah, it's so the Wheelbarrow Profits Academy is something that came through our journey of buying mom and pop apartments. And basically, we stumbled across this. We were doing exactly what we said on this call. We were buying right, managing right, and financing right. And we just realized, wow, those are really the three pillars to a successful investment. So we built out this framework. We built out this academy. And we put basically 40 training videos together of Gino and I going through the entire process from start to finish. It has an introduction. It's really cool. Again, the whole process took us about a year to complete. And we also focus on goal setting there. There's a home study workbook that accompanies it, so you can go through basically the 16 weeks. We've included 13 ebooks. We've included 6 calculators. Now, one of the things that people really struggle with in the beginning is analyzing deals. They're chicken scratch, writing things down on paper. We had this software to develop. It cost, about $15,000 all in, but it is sweet. It's one page. You can print it off. You can email it to a broker. You put in your income, your expenses, your purchase price, your financing, and boom, it spits out the cap rate. It spits out the cash on cash returns. Everything that you need, all our parameters are there for buying right. We have there's a budget calculator. There's an apartment turn sheet. There's 6 calculators total, and it's everything that you need to run your business. We've included 40 crucial documents, and that's example leases, example tenant evictions, example broker scripts, everything that we use from the buying process, the managing process, to the financing process. It's all in there. We put it all out there. There's a bonus section that includes micro courses that launch every 30 days. We had three lost chapters from our book, things such as, you know, how to get free stuff. And we didn't include those in the book, but we're including them in this. And also included in this is there's biweekly group coaching. So we actually do this Q&A type format where you can get on and do Q&A questions with us, with the group, with our community every 2 weeks. So we're making ourselves available that way. And, you know, there's also chat and communication throughout the product because it's a software learning platform. It's really cool. So that's the product.
What's great about it is someone like you, Darren, would be an ideal candidate for this product only because you're getting into a deal. You're there right now. This product has the intro of why you should get into it, but it also has the three legs of the framework: buy, manage, finance. And it's an interactive product. Anytime you do a lesson, if you have questions or you have comments, you throw them in the question section. Jake and I will get those questions. We'll email back right away. And like you do, you can send one of your deals to us while you're in the academy. Jake and I will analyze it, get back to you. And there's a lot of questions that, you know, come up. And, hey, I'll ask my brother who's a broker, or I'll ask my friend who's a broker. Sometimes they don't have the right knowledge or the right answer because they, you know, when somebody is doing something and you want an impartial question. Sometimes they're not going to tell you the right information. So you want to talk to somebody who's been doing it and who is doing it. And that's what this product allows you to do. It allows you to actually get in front of Jake and I whenever you need a question. You ask this question, we'll be there for you.
Yeah. The really beautiful thing about it too is the price point, because, you know, for Gino and I, if you know, people always ask us, can I coach with you guys? And, you know, we're busy guys. We have like I said, we have a $32 million portfolio. So our time is very valuable. So to coach with us for a year is about $25,000. But this program, it allows us to serve more people. And we have a very attractive price point at only $1,400. So, guys, we like it because it makes it available for a lot of people to get in on. And I think the calculators alone are worth that once you actually, you know, get in and see those.
But, and what's great about it, Jake and Darren, we're starting to create a community. So we're going to have a closed Facebook group. So you're going to have like-minded individuals getting together, talking about their deals, networking. And when you're together with like-minded individuals, what happens? Your level of energy gets raised, your level of interaction gets raised, and you just start, you know, you start cranking and kicking butt.
No, I like it. Well, and what we'll do in the show notes here, I'll put a link to the program there for anybody that's interested, and check it out there, because it sounds power-packed. And I just know in the little bit of time I've gotten to know you guys are the genuine deal, and you've walked the walk and talked the talk, and you're disciplined. Like we've had this, you know, conversation here.
Darren, we appreciate that, because the difference is that we're doing this. This is not, you know, philosophy. This is actionable stuff that we're doing every day of our lives. You know, after this, you know, I'm going back and I'm going to be working on the, you know, with some of our managers on the property. So it's not like this is a something we've read about. This is stuff, you know, that's come through doing. So that's the difference.
No kidding. And I've seen a video. You're kind of handy with a chainsaw out there.
Oh, okay. You saw the chainsaw video.
Sweet. I like that. So anyway, well, hey guys, thanks a bunch. And before we wrap up too, why don't you go ahead and tell people how they can get a hold of you. If I'll put the link in there, but we'll also, if you, whatever other websites and stuff.
Yeah. So number one, we have jakeandgino.com, and all of our social media from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. It's all the handle is Jake and Gino. So that's the easiest way. You can email us jake@jakeandgino.com, gino@jakeandgino.com. We're not hard to find. We're definitely out there. You got the YouTube page. It's all out there. So,
all right. Well, hey guys, like always, I really appreciate you taking the time, and wish you the best, and I look forward to talking to you next time.
Perfect. Thanks, Darren.
All right. See you later.
Discipline, discipline, discipline. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Words to live by for real estate investing. If you're interested, I encourage you to check out Jake and Gino and their coaching program. It is specific for multifamily. It shows you how to assess a property. There's workbooks, videos, and calculators. There's a link in the show notes. I encourage you to check it out and pursue that. Before we get out of here, I want to remind you to subscribe to our program. You can do that on iTunes or Stitcher. That way you'll know exactly when any new episode is posted. And we want you also to know that we appreciate you. We're very, very aware that you're busy, and we thank you for making time for us today. Until next time, thanks for listening to Commercial Real Estate Pro Network's CREPN Radio.
You're listening to CREPN Radio for influential commercial real estate professionals. For more information on this or any of our guests, like us on Facebook,
CREPN Radio.